Wednesday, May 5th, 2021. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you and your family and your friends are all staying healthy out there. Hope you are enjoying the spring weather wherever it is that you are at here in Colorado. Sometimes that has meant some rain and some even snow this week, but we are happy to have you here with us today. And before we forget, right off the top, we need to get something out there, and I need you to listen. Do not forget, this Sunday is Mother's Day. So be sure that you take care of mom this weekend. Don't forget about it. You got to make sure you take care of the moms in your life. Hey, they took care of you for years and they still liked you, even though you were like pooping your pants every day for well over a year after she first met you. So I think you can kind of show her a little courtesy this weekend. Make sure you go out and you get her that number one mom trophy so that she can do some flexing on all the other moms in the neighborhood. But do not forget about mom this coming weekend. Don't say you didn't know, because you got a reminder today on the Daily Dose. Also, we do have something to celebrate today. Yes, kids, you know it. Today is Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo is observed to commemorate the Mexican army's victory over the French Empire at the Battle of Puebla. The victory of the smaller Mexican force against a larger French force was a boost to morale for many Mexican communities. Going back to the 1800s, like when the Civil War was just starting, a lot of Mexican communities took up the banner of the Cinco de Mayo celebration as a way to commemorate the cause of freedom and democracy. Of course, the date has now become associated with celebrations of Mexican-American culture. Those celebrations, actually, a lot of them began in California, again, going back to the 1800s. And Cinco de Mayo gained nationwide popularity back in like the 1980s, thanks to some advertising campaigns by the beer and wine companies. Today, Cinco de Mayo, they say, generates alcohol sales that are on par with Super Bowl Sunday. And many Americans celebrate Mexican-American heritage and pride annually on May 5th. And many of them do it by, well, like eating Taco Bell that night, maybe pouring some tequila into their Baja Blast. But it is still a big celebration, at least here in the States. I know it's not like a huge holiday over in Mexico or anything, but here in the States, we do celebrate Cinco de Mayo. So happy Cinco de Mayo to everyone out there. By the way, undoubtedly, today, you're probably going to hear some people complaining about, you know, white people wearing sombreros or celebrating and having margaritas and eating Mexican food. And they'll be talking about cultural appropriation and saying how, well, you know, real Mexicans don't even celebrate Cinco de Mayo. And I would say about 99% of those people saying those things will all be woke white people. Just kind of keep that in mind. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us how you will be celebrating Cinco de Mayo and then how you will be recovering on like Seis de Mayo, maybe Siete de Mayo. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you've got a question about the NFL draft, or maybe you have a question about some players in the NFL. Make sure you drop us a line at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear what you have to say. Also, we all know we're all still doing a lot of online shopping. I know we're starting to go back out to the stores and get out to the malls again, but if you're going to do online shopping, go by tpublic.com, pick up some Daily Dose gear while you are over there. They're always doing a lot of sales over there, and we have a number of Daily Dose designs over there for you to choose from. We've got standard Daily Dose gear. You can see some of that up here on the wall. We've got Daily Dose football and basketball designs. We've got a few different things. You can order a t-shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie. You can pick whatever color that you want it in, but we've got other items over there. You can get a coffee mug. Maybe you need that for your work-at-home office. Got a number of items at tpublic.com. Make sure that you stop by over there. Hey, today on the show, the 2021 NFL Draft finished up over the weekend, And we are going to take a look at some way too early winners and losers from the event that gives all of us NFL fans hope. Well, at least for a few days. Well, who should actually feel good about their draft? And who should probably have some very real concerns after draft day? We are going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show to discuss the latest happenings in a league that somehow seems to stay in the news just year-round. But before we get over to the NFL draft, and we do have a jam-packed show for you today, I do have one NBA story that I kind of need to touch on a little bit. Because the Los Angeles Lakers have been stumbling for the last few weeks. The Lakers have won just 8 of their last 24 games. Okay, well, no big deal. Anthony Davis and LeBron James have both been out with injuries. Well, now they're back. Well, at least they were back. And it still isn't getting any better. The Lakers have now lost 7 of their last 10 with either AD or LeBron actually in the lineup. And in fact, it's getting so bad that there is a chance the Los Angeles Lakers could find themselves in the 7th or 8th seed of the West, and they would be forced to play in those play-in games. Remember, the NBA brought those play-in games to the playoffs, so the 7th place team would host the 8th place team in a one-game matchup. The winner of that game will get the number 7 seed in the playoffs. The 9th place team will host the 10th place team in a one-game playoff, and the winner of that would get the 8th seed. Well, LeBron James is not pleased about having to do that at all. Now, he says his ankle is banged up again and he's going to be out a little bit longer. But on Sunday, after losing to Toronto, LeBron James had this to say. He said, whoever came up with that blank needs to be fired, referring to the play-in tournament. Those are some strong words. I mean, he basically takes a shot at NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, I guess. Kind of an odd choice, because Adam Silver is a guy that's defended you players all the time, but kind of weird that you'd kind of take a swing at him, I guess. But here's where it gets a little weirder. Let's go back in time, and not very long, mind you. We don't have to go back like years and years and years. Let's just go back to last year. In an appearance on the Road Trippin' podcast with Allie Clifton and Talkin' Blazers hosts Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson, LeBron James talked about how he didn't want to jump straight into the postseason. His quote was, one thing you can't do is just go straight to the playoffs because it discredits the 60-plus games that guys had fighting for that position. But then he had more to say. He continued, you've got Portland, you got Memphis, New Orleans, Sacramento, they're all tinkering around there, so if there's 5 or 10 games left, why not just let those teams battle it out, make them play each other? So just a year ago, LeBron James was pushing for a play-in playoff series. And now this year, because he may find his team in that play-in playoff series, he doesn't want to do it anymore. And in fact, whoever came up with that idea needs to be fired. Oh, okay. So it's fine for other teams to have to do it, just not you. Got it. So when you say that whoever came up with that idea should be fired, honestly, you're kind of talking about yourself, aren't you?
Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
LeBron James lately can't seem to keep those big giant sneakers out of his mouth. Okay, coming back, the 2021 NFL Draft is now in the books. And when we come back, we are going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show to discuss who the winners and the losers of the draft actually were. Oh, I know. You're hearing a lot of this talk right now in the sports world. So why is the Daily Dose take any different than some of those other experts out there? Well, mostly because ours will be right. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, we have a longtime friend of the show. I wanted Mike from Castle Rock to come by because Mike knows sports. He knows the NFL, but Mike also knows NFL history. And sometimes, as we look at these drafts, the movement that we see in the NFL right now you kind of have to have a little bit of a sense of history. Mike, thanks so much for coming by the Daily Dose. We always enjoy your visits.
Always fun to come in. It's a fun time of year, the draft. No other major sport does a better job of promoting their draft.
No, they do
than
not.
Than the NFL. It is truly a year-round sport.
Mike, you bring up a really good point. Because the 2021 NFL draft finishes up over the weekend. And while some television events have been struggling, you know, the Oscars, they just had 9 million viewers. The NBA Finals this past year averaged 7 million viewers per game. The NFL doesn't seem to be suffering from that at all. On Thursday night, the NFL draft had 12.5 million viewers for the first round. That's a huge win for the NFL. 12.5 million people watched the NFL pick teams.
A major network and two cable networks carried it simultaneously. It's unbelievable.
No, the job that they do and the business that they get, we were talking about a little bit before we started recording. It is a year-round thing with the NFL now. There's always something happening. It's free agency, or it's the draft, or it's the preseason, or mini camps, but it's always something. You're always keeping your eyes on that league.
The marketing for the NFL is second to none.
Yeah, you're right. And it's funny. They get a lot of things wrong, but they are owning TV and they are owning sponsorships and those kind of things in the United States because everybody wants their NFL football. They outdraw everything else. Mike, a couple of things about this draft. First off, with the pandemic this past season, we've had a lot of players that didn't even play this last year get drafted. So from that perspective, it was a little bit of a weird draft. But here's the thing that I kind of want to keep an eye on. We know that free agents are being signed. They have signed early on in the week and over the weekend a little bit. I would bet we're going to see some good free agents out there that people just missed because maybe they didn't play, or maybe they kind of got lost in the shuffle of the weirdness this last year. You might get some sneaky good players out there.
It's definitely a unique year, unique offseason with the pandemic. You've got so many top talents in this past draft, in this very recent draft, that people haven't seen in 18 months.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. It's something we've never experienced before. So you got to base something off of what they did a year and a half ago during the season. A handful of them played one or two games during the 2020 season, if any at all. A lot of them opted out and just banked on what they already had built up as far as being a solid prospect.
Right.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see. I bet you this draft, with the exception maybe of the very, very top of it, would possibly have looked completely different had there been a normal 2020 season.
Yeah, you're right. Because there would have been some guys out there that wouldn't have fallen to this class. There would have been some guys out there that would have risen up the charts, some guys that probably would have dropped. It's a weird year. And as a result, we've kind of got a little bit of a weird draft. Mike, we also had kind of a weird draft. We had some weird moves. We had some players drafted, maybe a little bit of a surprise. Some teams, we always know they're going to reach on some players. Some trades that were unexpected. Before, though, we get to our winners and losers of this NFL draft, Mike, we need to talk about a situation going on in the NFL. Because Thursday night, rumors were flying hot and heavy, especially in the Mile High City, around all-pro Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers saying he wants out of Green Bay. There were also rumors that he had three teams on his wish list where he could possibly land. Those teams were the San Francisco 49ers, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Denver Broncos. Now, locally, we were hearing that a deal for Aaron Rodgers to come to Denver could be in the works and, in fact, might even be done. I know a lot of people might be hearing that now and saying, I don't believe any of that, and I get it. But we were hearing that Vegas moved Denver up to like their sixth favorite in Vegas future Super Bowl odds. So Vegas was hearing these things too. Mike, is Aaron Rodgers coming to Denver just like Peyton Manning did? Should we start looking for parking for our Super Bowl parade route right now?
Boy, it is a different scenario because it would be a trade. And the capital that you would need to give up to acquire a Hall of Fame, let's just say it right now. You said all pro earlier, and absolutely, but Hall of Fame quarterback?
Still in his prime.
36, 37, who cares?
Right.
He's going to play 4, 5, 6 years, and you're going to be in contention for a Super Bowl every
year.
Year. he's on your roster. We've discussed this before, but with the salary cap implications, nothing is going to happen until after June 1st, but
it can't.
What a wild ride. It's going to be interesting. And then who knows, between now and June 1st, does the Deshaun Watson thing get cleared up? Again, the NFL is sitting back loving this.
Sure.
It is at the top of everybody's list of what to talk about, especially if the Deshaun Watson thing legally gets cleared up, because you've got two superstars. Now, one in the very beginning of his career, one towards the end of his career.
Sure.
So it's going to be interesting to see how those two things are handled. They want out. It's something we've never seen like this before.
Well, and I'm looking at this situation with Rodgers, because I think the Deshaun Watson thing, I think there's so much, I guess, kind of red tape stuff that still has to go on there. The Rodgers thing, Mike, I'm looking at it, and I know it's super exciting for sports talk. It's super exciting for us. It's exciting for the fans. It's exciting for ESPN and all these sports networks. But logistically, there's a lot of things that would have to happen. I mean, you'd have to come up with dead cap money to pay the Packers. Right now, that dead cap number would be $40 million. No one has $40 million, by the way. The most salary cap that anyone has right now is the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they are short of $40 million. So there are logistics there. Plus, you got to come up with your trade capital. Not to mention all that money. So there are logistics there that are going to be a problem. I know that everybody gets excited about it. I just don't think it's nearly as easy as everyone's acting like it is. You got a lot of hoops to jump through here.
Oh, absolutely. It's not an easy path to a solution.
No.
Threatened to retire. He said he's not going to play again for Green Bay. There's a lot of things in the way of something getting done. And of course, the brass at Green Bay are saying the right thing, that, you know, we're committed to Aaron. We think he's going to be our quarterback for the future. What else are they going to say? You know,
right.
Well, we're waiting until June to make a deal. You know, you're not going to say anything like that. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. You know, it rings of when Peyton Manning was a free agent.
Yeah.
6-7 years ago, however long ago that was. So,
and that was a free agency.
Yeah.
This would be a little bit different. But, yeah, you're starting to hear these rumbles, and is he going to go somewhere? And he wants out, and they're not happy, and I don't know where this is going to go. I think there's a lot of things that would have to happen for him to go anywhere, let alone for him to end up in Denver. Okay, Mike, as usual, we saw teams on draft night fall in love with quarterbacks, probably take them too early, but right now, I want to just look across the league at some winners and losers from this 2021 NFL draft. One quick side note. Can we speed up the first round a little bit? I feel like the 10 minutes might be a little too long.
I agree. And a lot of the teams take their time.
They take their full 10.
And here's the reason why, is because they're fielding offers.
Yes.
You know, if somebody wants to jump up, they're going back and forth between two other teams and saying who's going to offer the best deal. And if the deal outweighs the best prospect they can acquire at that pick, maybe they make the move.
Well, and if nothing else, they've got to wait for the phone call. So you've got to take all your time. But could we like lower that to 7 or 8 minutes? Because that first round,
I agree. Because there's, you know, 32 teams and 10 minutes each, you know, you're getting a long time frame there. I think maybe shaving a couple minutes off would be okay.
Right.
I'd be down with that.
Well, and like the first pick of the draft, we all know. We know who Jacksonville's taking. They're going to take that full 10 minutes, though, because what if in the last 30 seconds they get a call from some team that offers the moon? Well, they've got to take it. But can we speed up the draft a little bit? Okay, let's move on to some winners and losers. Mike, who do you have up as your first winner of the 2021 NFL draft?
You know, here's the thing, is I actually struggled putting this one on the winners list.
Okay.
It's hard to go against Jacksonville as a winner. Lawrence is the fourth can't-miss prospect in the last 20 years, 20, 25 years. You know, you've got Elway, you've got Peyton Manning, you've got Luck, and Lawrence. It's been a no-brainer for, what, 2-3 years that he was going to be the first pick taken. It was just a matter of who was going to fall into that slot.
Right.
Jacksonville lucked out with the Jets winning a couple games in, you know, typical New York fashion, screwing things up.
Yep.
So we've known for a long time that that's who it's going to be. Do you get credit for making that pick? No, it's a no-brainer.
Pretty no-brainer pick,
You know, the thing that made me struggle a little bit was their second pick in the first round. Love the player.
Kava Setien is a really nice player.
Oh, I mean,
can hurt you a few different ways.
Yeah, he's compared to Kamara.
Yeah.
If you could take Kamara late in the first round, you'd do it.
Of course you'd do it.
Twice on Sundays?
Yep.
But was he the best need?
Probably not.
You got a 1-15 team.
With needs everywhere.
With needs everywhere. With a stud.
Running back.
Young.
Yes.
Running back.
Yeah.
And you've got the opportunity in the late first round to take an immediate starter at another impact position.
Of need.
Of yeah. need.
Right.
And you take ETN. I struggled. I still am slightly leaning towards them as being winner just because those two picks may be dynamic for years to come.
Did you move them up on your list because Tim Tebow might be their starting tight end? You know, it was funny because when that was announced and they were talking about Tim Tebow might be, everybody was like so surprised. I was like, you know, he played for Urban in college, right? Like they got a little bit of history. That didn't surprise me one single bit. It kind of surprised me it took that long, but you've got Jacksonville as a winner, and I totally understand that. Mike, I'm going to throw out a winner of my own, and I'm going to give a winner to North Dakota State quarterback Trey Lance, because there was a lot of speculation as to who the San Francisco 49ers had moved up to 3-4. We thought it might be Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. Turns out instead it was Trey Lance. Here's the interesting part about Lance. He's got all the tools. He's got a big arm. He's a big, strong kid. He can throw it. He can make all the throws. Is he really worthy at number 3? I don't have any idea. He played at North Dakota State. I don't know. And you know what? Neither does anyone else. So he's a winner because somehow he got himself drafted at the number 3 spot. But I don't have a clue if this kid can play. I don't know. I know the competition he faced at North Dakota State. Probably not that good. Now, maybe he develops into a top-notch quarterback, but it might take a while. I mean, he deserves a winner for getting drafted that early because I don't know if he can even play, but I guess we're going to find out. But I'll give him a winner for that. Mike, who do you have up as your first loser?
It puts a little smile on my face to say this, and this isn't the first time I've said this in the last few years.
But I already know where you're going there.
I got to go with the Raiders.
Yeah.
They need an offensive line.
Yes.
But they need defense like none other.
Bad.
And where they were picking and who they picked, I think they picked their first round pick about 40 picks too soon.
It's so odd.
I don't understand. They literally could have traded that pick, gone later in the first round,
yep.
and maybe picked up another second round, and then yes. picked him with their second pick in the second round.
Right.
It made no sense to me. I think it was a reach. Just like their reach when they picked Farrell, what, third or fourth or something like that a couple years ago?
Well, yes. So they have a history of doing this, right? They take Cleveland Farrell back in 2018. They take Henry Ruggs last year, who was not nearly as high on everyone's draft list. Now, this year, they take Alabama tackle Alex Leatherwood, who, again, was projected to be maybe a late second rounder, possibly even a third rounder on some people's draft boards. Here's the thing about the Raiders, though, and I'm right there with you. I'll give them that loser as well. If they were saying, hey, this is our guy and we're going with our guy, and then the guy turned out to be great, you'd be like, oh, what do they know that everybody else doesn't know? That's not what's happening. They're picking their guy, and then their guy doesn't turn out to be all that great, and then we're going, why'd you pick him again? If you draft your guy and you're happy with your guy, thrilling. But do not forget, there is value. You could have traded down. You could have made other moves. And for that reason, yeah, I had the Raiders as a loser as well. Here is what it's making me wonder. The last few years, the Raiders just picked someone from the national championship game. Is that the only game they scout?
It's possible. I will say this. I did like their second round pick.
I did too.
If he's healthy.
If he's healthy.
There's reports lately that he may have pretty significant injury, so... That was a little bit of a risk.
Yeah.
He may turn out. And of course, he was bolstering that defense, which they need help with. But yeah, the Leatherwood pick is just
really
that odd. Was the first one in the first round that you just kind of go, what?
Yes. They had the first one that everyone said they picked who? That was a little bit strange. And again, I mean, maybe at this point we should just expect that kind of thing from the Raiders. But it does always kind of surprise you because the last 3 years running, they've got Mike Mayock in there, who, by all accounts, seems to be a pretty smart guy. They keep taking guys that just don't make that much sense. I didn't understand it. They did get Trayvon Merrick, the TCU safety, in the second round, but he does have those injury concerns. I like him a lot, but we've got to see if he's healthy. If he's healthy.
Yeah, most boards had him rated as the top rated safety. So,
for sure.
You know, it could work out, but it was a stretch in the first round.
Yes, it was. I'm going to throw out another loser here, Mike. And we already talked about it, but I've got to throw out a loser to Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, because he and his team clearly hate each other's guts. Think about this. The Packers have had 10 drafts since Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl for them. Do you know how many times they've drafted an offensive player with the first pick of their draft? Once. That was Jordan Love, his replacement last year.
That they traded up for.
Other than that, they don't go get help for Aaron Rodgers. So I totally get why he is so frustrated with that franchise. I don't know why they don't want to help the guy, but they don't. And now it's almost feeling like a staring contest between the GM and Aaron Rodgers. I don't get it, but they don't go help him and get him picked. And they did it again this year. This year, after all this stuff, after Jordan Love this last year, okay, this year they're going to go get him. There are some wide receivers on the board. There was a tight end on the board. There were some offensive linemen on the board. They go defense. I mean, they're just flipping Aaron Rodgers off at this point, aren't they?
Well, hold on. With their third overall pick, they picked Rodgers, who's a track star.
Right.
Who may or may not be able to catch the ball. Yeah, so, yeah, just, maybe that was just to appease him. I don't know.
I don't get it.
Yeah, you had Rodgers on there as a loser. I had Green Bay as a loser because of how they handled themselves.
This is going so sour.
Yeah.
It's going so bad, and I don't see how this ever resolves itself without, you know, one person leaving or the situation just going so bad. Okay, Mike, we've got winners and losers up. We're up to a winner. Who do you have next as your next winner?
Somebody, even though one of the best GMs in the last couple decades has relinquished his role, he apparently taught his heir apparent very well, because I think Baltimore, again, nailed the draft.
They seem like they do it every year, don't
they? It's unbelievable. I mean, when Ozzie Newsome was GM, every year you just like, oh, God, that is a perfect fit for them.
Right.
I can totally see that player as a Raven. And the new GM is doing the same thing.
Well, they go out and they get Minnesota wide receiver Rashad Bateman.
Stud.
Big wide receiver. And I know that we're all critical of Lamar Jackson, and I get it. But let's look at some of the guys he's throwing to. He doesn't have much to throw to, so I know we want to blame him, and I understand it, because in the playoffs, Lamar has not gotten it done. He doesn't have a lot of weapons. They go find him a big weapon here. Then, later in the first round, they go get pass rusher Jason Owe, who is a legit guy that can put pressure, and same thing what you said. Why does he look like he's going to be perfect in a Ravens?
He's going to be a Pro Bowler with the Ravens in 2 years. It's just book it. It's unbelievable. And then they bolstered the offensive line too.
Yes.
So they nailed the draft.
It seems like there are certain teams out there, and Baltimore is always one of them, that every year, like you said, they just seem to find their guys. And when you see it, you're like, oh, of course he's going to the Ravens. Of course he is. Where else would he fit? He fits perfectly with them. They do so well in the draft, and they did it again this year. I've got a winner for you, and I might step on one that you've already got. You just said the Ravens. Mike, I've got a team here that's a winner, and it's weird because we're so used to them doing dumb things that we're kind of shocked when they get it right. But since the New York Jets went out and hired their head coach, Robert Saleh, they keep surprising us by making moves that are smart. And we're kind of going, wait, who? See, you've got them down too. In free agency, they go get Carl Lawson. They go get Sheldon Rankins. Now in the draft, again, they make moves that I understand we're just looking on paper right now. But you get BYU quarterback Zach Wilson. They get USC offensive tackle Elijah Vera Tucker. They get Ole Miss speed wide receiver Elijah Moore. The Jets are getting better, Mike, and I can't believe we're saying that.
I agree. It tells you what wiping the slate clean is going to do for you.
Yeah.
Because the old regime probably would have screwed this up.
Yes.
But quarterback, one of the top interior offensive linemen in the entire draft, a stud wide receiver, and not a bad running back.
Right. Yeah, they go get a good running back as well. We haven't said that in so long. And I'll be the first one to admit, I'm still really worried about Zach Wilson, because the Jets have a history again of screwing up really good quarterbacks. They have a ton of quarterbacks in their history that they've gotten wrong every single time. So you sit there and say, okay, well, Zach Wilson looks on paper like he should be better than those guys. Well, yeah, but we've said that before. We've said that with all the guys they've drafted before. But now they're surrounding him with some more talent. I think the Jets are kind of on the rise. I like what they did in the draft as well. All right, Mike, we're going to have to go to break, but I want to get one more loser from you before we do. Do you got another loser for us?
I do. Being overshadowed by the Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers issues is Russell Wilson's frustrations with his front office and his team.
Good call.
He is literally running for his life.
Yes, he is.
So when you come up to pick, do you think you take an offensive lineman?
You would think so.
You would think so. Maybe second round, maybe third round, maybe fourth round. Just depth, something to help your probable Hall of Fame quarterback who is disgruntled because you're giving him no help.
Right.
They don't do a thing to help him. I got the Seahawks as losers in this draft.
Well, the Seahawks are losers, and some of it is the fact that they barely had any picks. They didn't have many picks to take, and then they didn't really do anything with the ones they had. They take a small wide receiver, they take a cornerback. Finally, in the sixth round, they go get an offensive lineman for the first time, and that was their only picks that they had. But again, you're trying to make Russell Wilson happy. That's what you did? And then you're going to wonder, I don't know why he's so mad at us. Yeah, shocking, isn't it? Mike, I've got one more loser, and we may end up, disagreeing even on this one. But I've got a loser I want to throw out. Last year, rookie quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow, was sacked 32 times. Now, that sounds bad. Okay, twice a game. Except for he only played 10 games. This year, with the best offensive lineman on the board, the Bengals took a wide receiver. A wide receiver I really like, by the way. LSU wide receiver Jamar Chase is a stud. Big, strong kid, can do everything. And he, remember, was Joe Burrow's favorite target when he was still at LSU. But I would think protecting Burrow might have been a little higher on their list. There were tackles taken right after that. There was a run, in fact, on offensive tackles. Now, they did take a couple guys later in, you know, the third and the fourth round. But we know the Bengals' history. I thought they might go smart over sexy. They didn't do that yet again, and I have a feeling that's going to come back and bite Joe Burrow.
It very well might. It's got to be a conflicting feeling for Joe Burrow because he's got his...
Oh, yeah, that's his guy.
He's got his guy. Yes. I mean, one of the best wide receivers. Sidebar, how many stud wide receivers have come out of the draft in the last 2 or 3 years?
How many stud wide receivers have come out of just LSU and Alabama?
It's ridiculous.
Just those two schools alone.
10 in the last 4 or 5 years? They're factories, and it's unbelievable. So... makes me a little less angry for the Broncos taking a cornerback.
Right, right.
You cannot have enough DBs in this league.
Right.
But getting back to Cincinnati, I love Joe Burrow.
I do too.
Oh, I love that kid. He is a stud. I'd be curious to be inside of his thoughts as to, okay, you got me a stud wide receiver.
Yes.
But holy crap, I better throw that in 1.5 seconds.
Well, that's the thing. Are you going to have time to find that wide receiver? I would be much more concerned with that. It doesn't matter. Like we saw this last year, if he's hurt, none of it matters. It's all out the window. I thought they'd do a little bit better of a job protecting him rather than just going out there and getting him a weapon. For that reason, I made Joe Burrow a loser. Okay, coming back, we still have some more winners and losers from the 2021 NFL draft to get to. I want to get Mike's thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys. Did Jerry Jones blow another draft? Because we know he's very capable. Plus, there was a quarterback in the draft that fell a little bit lower. But I've got to give you a hint. I have him as both a winner and a loser. So let's continue our conversation with some winners and losers from the 2021 NFL draft. And Mike, I am usually able to just pencil in the Dallas Cowboys and their owner, Jerry Jones, is a loser. I actually kind of like some of the moves that they made. Because instead of trying to make that splashy move, I thought, sure, they would go grab Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith. In the first round, that's what I totally expected. Instead, they trade down to their division rival, the Philadelphia Eagles, I might add, And instead, they go grab Penn State inside linebacker Micah Parsons. Now, that's the smart move. That's not the sexy move. That's the smart move. But Dallas doesn't make those moves, but that's what they did.
The injury to the quarterback, Dak Prescott, notwithstanding.
Right.
Their biggest weakness, and it's not even close, is their defense.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. And in this draft, they hammered. They knew it was a weakness, and they went after it. And just to reiterate what you said, yeah, they traded back, gained more draft capital, and still picked what some people consider the top defensive prospect in the draft.
Micah Parsons could play.
Yeah. I mean, if he didn't have those off-field issues, he probably goes top eight-ish. And that may have contributed to what made him drop. I don't know. But they took care of their need. It was a glaring need in the defensive deficiencies, and they took care of it. So kudos to the Cowboys.
The defense allowed 30 points a game last year. 30?
That's college statistics.
That is. That's a college stat. And that's a college if you play in like the WAC. But they use their first seven picks on defense. I don't know if the picks are going to turn out. We can't say that for sure. But just based on the way that they approach the draft, I've got to give them some credit. Now, to be fair.
Well, to be fair.
Oh, don't say to be fair. I hate when people say to be fair. It sounds like to be fair.
To be fair.
Well, to be fair.
We're kind of grading on a curve, right? Because if this was another team, we'd say, well, yeah, they address their weaknesses. But when it's Dallas, we're like, no, they actually did a smart thing. So like, we're kind of shocked that they did something smart because we're just not used to that with Dallas. But I'll give Dallas a little bit of credit. Mike, who do you have as your next winner?
Staying in our familiar division, I kind of got to go with the Chargers.
Yeah, I do too.
They did not have to budge, and they picked up what many people consider to be the best offensive tackle.
Yep. Northwestern offensive tackle Rashawn Slater. Not only is he good, he's versatile. He can kind of move anywhere.
Athletic is anything huge. Yeah. I mean, he may be trouble in that division for years to come. And then the second round, they didn't budge, and they got a very good defensive back.
Yeah.
A little side note here. How many sons of former NFL players went? I know of at least three. You've got Horn, you've got Samuel, and you've got
Patrick Surtain.
So there's three guys. And there might be one or two more that we're not thinking of. But it's interesting to see how the generations are coming through the NFL. But I like what the Chargers did. And I have to give them a definite thumbs up for this year's draft.
I did too. And like you said, you know, when you're looking at the Chargers last year, and obviously they found creative ways to lose. But you look at quarterback Justin Herbert. And he looks like he's got everything. I mean, as a Bronco fan, he scares me a lot. But they didn't protect him. Well, they go out and get a guy that can protect him. They need a cornerback. They go get Asante Samuel. Both picks, not only were they needs, they were best player available. That's a nice combo when that actually comes together. And that's exactly what the Chargers had. Yeah, I had the Chargers as a winner too. I really like what they did. And we're both sitting here as Denver Bronco fans, not wanting to admit that. But they were. The Chargers had a really, really nice draft. Mike, I'm going to give a loser here. Let me kind of preface this. I'm going to give a loser, but I'm also going to give a winner. I'm going to give a loser to Alabama quarterback Mac Jones, who we thought might be a top five pick, and instead he was Brady Quinn, Aaron Rodgers, sitting in the green room all by his lonesome self until pick 15, almost halfway through the night. Mac Jones ends up sitting there, and then, as if that wasn't tough enough, because it's always hard to see the guy sitting in the green room by himself, but then he gets the call, and his walk out to the stage, like, dude is hustling. Like, he's moving. He's trying to get out of there. I couldn't tell if he was just happy to have been picked, if he was trying to hurry out and see Zach Wilson's mom. I don't know which it was, but he was getting out of that room very quick. So I'm going to give Mac Jones a little bit of a loser. Then I also have to give him a little bit of a winner because that was embarrassing. That's tough to sit in the room. And again, he might have missing Zach Wilson's mom a little bit more. But Mac Jones may have ended up in the best spot for him as he ended up getting drafted by the New England Patriots. Now, let's think. A guy not that athletic, but stays cool under pressure and is highly accurate on his passes
especially on the deep ball. Where have we heard that before?
And very intelligent.
Highly intelligent.
I mean, here's the thing about Mac Jones. I don't know how disappointed he could be, because he is going with a team that obviously has a very recent history of incredible success.
Right.
And 6 months ago, where was he projected? Second round?
Probably.
Maybe?
Maybe.
And then all of a sudden, you know, as it happens every year.
Guys fly up the board.
Guys fly, you know, he was projected to go third to the Niners in right. a lot of mocks. Right. So I think it may honestly be the perfect scenario for him.
I do
and,
too.
And to be honest with you, to dovetail into it, I actually have the Patriots as one of my winners. They, pun intended, they stayed pat. They did not have to trade up.
They didn't move for these guys.
They did not have to move.
No, and they didn't have to sacrifice anything in the process, but they seem like they got the guys they wanted.
And he is literally the perfect fit for that team.
Yeah.
And then in a draft that is fairly weak for interior defensive linemen, they get the best one
right
in the draft without moving up again. So I've got my Pats as a winner, not to, you know, pull you off of the Mac Jones thing, but
no, you're exactly right, because they go get Alabama defensive tackle Christian Barmore, who, like you said, is probably the best interior lineman on the defensive front that's out there. They didn't trade anyone to go get this. They didn't have to move anything around to go get this. They get both of their guys just sitting there. And while Mac Jones probably felt like the biggest loser on draft night for the first 14 picks, how thrilled was he that he fell where he did? Because how many times have we seen, say, a David Carr, best player, taken with the top pick? Well, great, but you go to a horrible team that can't protect you. You get beat up. Mac Jones, yes, it's probably embarrassing at the time, but then you go to the exact right spot that's the perfect fit for you. He's still a winner in my book, because he's going to end up probably being pretty good there. We'll talk a little bit, maybe a little bit later, about some of the Patriots moves that they've made, but yeah, Mac Jones, I had him kind of as a loser early on, but man, did he bounce back in a big, big way. And you have the Patriots as a winner. Mike, I've got a loser I'm going to throw out there. And I feel kind of bad throwing him out as a loser, because I really like the kid. There was part of me that kind of wanted to see our hometown Denver Broncos select him. But I'm going to give a loser to Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. He ends up going at pick number 11, which isn't too bad. Here's the downside. He went to Chicago. Now, first, he didn't look like he really wanted to go to Chicago. Second, you and I have talked about this before. There are certain NFL cities that are really, really hard on quarterbacks. New York is one. And Chicago is one. Because not only do you have to deal with the huge spotlight and the media and the craziness, but you also have to deal with the horrible outdoor conditions. Now, maybe Justin Fields is a cold weather guy. He played his college ball the last couple of years at Ohio State. That's not Chicago. Chicago's windy, icy, cold. The fans are merciless. But it's not just that either. Is head coach Matt Nagy, is he even good? I have no idea. I know this. I know so far we haven't seen him help any quarterbacks in Chicago at all. They look terrible under Matt Nagy. So I don't know that Fields went to the best situation for him to be successful. And for that, it makes me concerned that Justin Fields might end up being a loser in this. Which, like I said, I kind of wanted to see if the Broncos would take him. Now he's going to be sitting behind Andy Dalton while Nagy tries to hold on to his job. I just don't like the fit for the Bears for Justin Fields.
Well, it's going to be interesting, because there's no denying his talent.
Right.
But when you go to a franchise and the best quarterback in your history, you got to go back to the 1940s.
Right.
Right. I'm not exaggerating. No. Literally, you have to go back to the 1940s to go back to the last or the only Hall of Fame true, really.
And that's what, Sid Luckman?
Yes.
Yeah. Jim McMahon, I guess.
Jim McMahon, you know what? You and I could have won 10 games behind that defense.
Well, we could have. And you know what I wonder with Jim McMahon? Was Jim McMahon the perfect quarterback for that crazy media and that crazy yes. weather? Because he was nuts.
Yes.
He didn't care.
Yes.
Say whatever you want. Write whatever you want. I don't care. I do whatever I feel like
with
doing.
With that defense backing you up
yes.
and Ditka as your head coach, he right. was absolutely
he was
perfect.
Perfect. I don't know if they make guys like that anymore to start with. And I don't know that Justin Fields is that guy. For that, Like, I'm kind of worried about him in Chicago. I worry he could get beat up and spit out like we've seen so many other quarterbacks do in that situation.
It is going to be an interesting watch the next few years for sure, because will it be a ton of talent wasted? Will they turn it around and actually develop a quarterback? Yeah, that's an interesting situation. That's true. I had almost put the Bears on my winner's list because they got him.
Sure.
And he was...
They've got to feel great about that.
They've got to feel great about it. They traded up a couple spots to get him. And then, you know, they did a smart thing and picked one of the best offensive linemen.
Yeah.
With their next pick, so...
The Bears have to feel good about their draft.
Yep.
If I'm Justin Fields, I don't feel good about going there, though. Because they've beat up a lot of good quarterbacks, and I might just be the next guy in line. Mike, do you have any more losers to add to our list today?
I actually do. I'm surprised neither of us have mentioned this one yet. This is kind of low-hanging fruit. This team's been a dumpster fire for the last couple years. The Houston Texans.
Oh, so bad.
What has happened to this team? Is it ownership? Is it management? I mean, what has happened in the last 2 years? This is literally a dumpster fire.
It's so bad.
If they did not have Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt, who already has jumped ship, they would be in the conversation for top three picks every year. And then with your first pick, because you've traded away so much.
They have no picks. You're right.
They have no picks. With their first pick, they take a guy who's played, what, 9 games or something? Mills with Stanford? I mean,
they take Davis Mills, the quarterback from Stanford, who I'm assuming is going to be like the backup to Tyrod Taylor if Deshaun can't. What a disaster.
Yeah. Because of lack of opportunity, which is their own fault, and who they ended up picking, the Texans are losers in this draft.
No, you're exactly right, and that's a good call. Right now, as it stands, is there a worse NFL franchise going than the Houston Texans? And that sounds crazy to say that, but
no,
they are going downhill so fast.
There's not, because your perennial worst ones are on the way up.
Are rising.
Cleveland
getting better.
One of the most talented teams, top to bottom, in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Jets, we just talked about them.
They're getting better.
They're turning it around.
There's a few teams like that. Houston, meanwhile, is circling the drain and going down more and more and more and more. And this draft is yet another example. They have no plan. They don't have the people to do it. And they still have the mess to deal with Deshaun. And it's just a complete disaster. If you are a quality football player, you want nothing to do with Houston.
No.
In any way.
No. This draft might as well be a mulligan. They literally got no value out of it.
You're right. No, that's a complete mess. Mike, let's move over to a winner. And I am going to give a winner. We already talked about a little bit, but I'm going to give a winner to the National Football League, because while the NBA struggles, the Oscars, whatever, blame the pandemic, the NFL just keeps getting strong ratings in this country. We love our National Football League. Watching them pick teams is must-see TV. I was glued to it. I watched every single minute of it. And you know, the other part of it was I thought it was cool. We saw fans returning. The draft-picked announcers were like talking trash to the Cleveland fans. It was starting to kind of feel like normal again. For that reason, I give the NFL a big winner.
Yeah, that's an obvious one. They've done an amazing job at marketing themselves. And this is kind of a symbol of things maybe returning to normal. I don't know, but it definitely
sure
makes you excited like it does every year for the upcoming season, you know, unless you're a Texans fan.
Right.
You know, it's always a kickoff to the preseason because, you know, there's still off-season moves to be made coming up here. What was it 4 or 5 years ago they decided to make it a 3-day event?
Yep.
And it's been a home run ever since.
Well, and when they did that, because it used to just be a Saturday-Sunday event. Start off, you'd get up at like 10 in the morning, we'd be watching the draft all day, and then they, you know, second day, maybe you don't watch it quite as much. Now they've got it prime time on major networks. This isn't even on cable. Like, they're running on like your major networks, and they're getting ratings through the roof. But you know, the thing about the NFL draft, I think we actually probably buy too much into it, because if you look at the NBA, you would think a draft pick in the NBA, where only 5 guys are on the court, would make a bigger difference. But we all look at the NFL draft as that day our team has hope. Whether or not it's true, who knows? But right now, there is a nut fan in Houston saying, hey, that quarterback from Stanford is going to be the guy. We're going to make a playoff. playoffs this year. You know it because that's what the draft is. It represents hope, and we love that.
I saw today, earlier today, you know, I don't know, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, whatever. They announced an obscure defensive back, probably the 12th rated guy in its position. It was for the Los Angeles Rams. And they panned over to a fan dressed up in their Rams gear, and they were just celebrating like they picked Deion Sanders.
Yes, yes, it is hope. It is so exciting.
I'm like, I guarantee you, you have never heard of that guy. And you're celebrating like you just picked a Hall of Famer.
Well, that was the other day. I sent you the clip of when Cleveland selected Johnny Manziel, and they have a clip of the Cleveland fans. They're all like pointing to the sky like, thank you, God, we finally got our guy. Trust me, you didn't find your guy. But on draft night, everyone thinks they found their guy. And for that reason, the NFL's a winner.
Perception of hope.
Yes. Yes. And that's all we need. We just need a glimmer. We just need a glimmer of hope. Mike, who is your next winner?
They resisted the temptation to trade down. And I know they got some pretty good offers. But I think that the Falcons did the best thing they could do for Matt Ryan in picking a once in a generation, maybe once in a lifetime, tight end in Pitts.
Kyle Pitts is a stud. And Kyle Pitts is a guy that is going to be, you know, stays healthy and all those kind of things. Not only is he insanely talented and kind of fit that almost Shannon Sharp kind of mode, too big for a DB, too fast for a linebacker. He's that kind of guy. But he's also the guy that comes out and says, hey, I want everybody to know I want to be the best tight end in the history of ever. And he kind of prepares that way. When he played at Florida, he played the same way. And some of his biggest games were against some of their best opponents. He's had a great game against Alabama. Kyle Pitts is a stud. Big win for Matt Ryan. I know there's a lot of talk that, you know, maybe should the Falcons move on past Matt Ryan? Let's be clear. He was a top five quarterback. Now, I'm not a Matt Ryan guy, but he was a top five quarterback last year. They're not going to move on past him. But getting Kyle Pitts gives him another weapon. Now, of course, they'll lose because their defense is terrible, but don't worry about that.
Well, yeah.
They had a great draft.
Yeah, and it also depends on what they do with Julio Jones. So if somehow they can retain him, those two starting wide receivers and Pitts, talk about a defensive coordinator's nightmare.
Yes. Can I throw out a suggestion?
Yeah.
If I'm the Green Bay Packers, I go offer them whatever they want for Julio Jones and say, hey, Aaron, are you happy now? They're not going to do that because they're idiots, but I'm just lobbing that out there. I'd be trying to do something along those lines and try to keep Aaron Rodgers happy. And getting Julio Jones, I know he was banged up this last year. When he was on the field, he was still highly productive. I'd be trying to keep that guy wherever I had him. But if I was a team like Green Bay, yeah, I'd be trying to do something like that.
Sure.
Mike, I've got a loser here. And I kind of feel bad for giving a loser to another quarterback. Well, I've got a few quarterbacks I'm going to give losers to. But I've got to give a loser to New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, because after being sacked 83 times in his first two seasons, the Giants are on the clock at 20. There were a few offensive linemen on the board. They went and selected Florida wide receiver, running back, flanker, Kadarius Toney. I like Kadarius Toney. He's explosive. You give him the ball and give him some space and look out. But he can't block anybody. And Daniel Jones is getting killed back there every single play. The Giants are usually the team that goes and gets the big guys up front. Yes, they do. They didn't do that. Remember, they're just getting Saquon Barkley back. You don't want him hurt again, do you? Why wouldn't you address the offensive line there? I didn't understand that. You're trying to get a young quarterback that is your future, I would think, killed. And I would care a little more about his health than getting a little speedster. And again, the sexy pick doesn't make sense. I'm not used to that with the Giants. The Giants usually do the logical thing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And they actually gave the GM a nickname, trade
back Gettleman or
something. Yeah, whatever it was, because he did that so many times.
But right.
It's funny that it actually dovetails perfectly. Now, one thing, young quarterbacks, there's almost always a certain percentage of those sacks that you can blame on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Holding the ball too long.
Sure.
Running out of your pocket, whatever it may be. So some of that may fall on Jones, and I'm sure some of it does.
For sure.
But yeah, you're right. That was definitely an area of concern. And that actually goes perfectly into my next loser. Kind of opposite situations. You've got a quarterback in the end of his career. who is not mobile. Used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Who is not mobile.
I know where you're going.
And they lost, what, three offensive linemen to free agency this year?
Yes, they did.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers love the player.
Right.
Hate the pick.
Right.
It makes no sense. You've got a stud running back who's going to run into a wall because he's got no offensive line to run
into. Yeah, they go get Najee Harris again as opposed to taking one of the offensive linemen off the board. And then they go get a tight end. They get some defensive players. They ended up in the seventh round drafting a punter. You didn't make that push to get an offensive lineman. It sounds insane to say, but the Pittsburgh Steelers were the 32nd ranked rushing team last year.
With a pretty good running back.
With a good running back.
Who is no longer on the team.
Who has left for probably a better offensive line. And you didn't address that. I don't understand. Look, we all know you got to have your fans to stay in business. You got to put butts in the seats. I get it. But making the sexy pick over the smart pick, I'm not a believer in that. Go get what you need. And it all, games are won in the trenches, but teams don't want to do that. They want to go get the flashy guy. They want to go get the running back. They want to go get the wide receiver, the quarterback. And I don't know if I buy that. Yeah, I had Pittsburgh down. I changed it at the last second, but I had Pittsburgh down too because I didn't like that pick. I thought they could have went offensive line there, and they didn't do it. Mike, I have one more winner here I'm going to throw out, and I have one more loser I'm going to throw out. I'm going to throw out my last winner, though. I really like what the Miami Dolphins are doing. I really like what Miami is doing. Brian Flores gets his team to play physical football. They make very few mistakes. And now that front office is starting to get some talent down in Miami, too. The Dolphins get Alabama wide receiver Jalen Waddle. They get Miami pass rusher Jalen Phillips, who might end up being really good. That's a really athletic kid. The AFC East in general, I guess we could give them a winner. The AFC East is on the rise. Buffalo is at the top. The Patriots, bizarrely, might be headed to the bottom if they're not careful. The Dolphins and the Jets are getting better, and I really like what Miami did in this draft.
Didn't it seem like every fifth pick was theirs?
Yes, anyway? They had so many picks, and they've got picks in the future coming next year. Yes, they've got a ton.
It's unbelievable. The front office deserves a ton of credit.
Yep.
The trades they've made, the picks they've acquired, that's going to be a team to reckon with for years to come.
Yep.
If Tua
turns out. Yeah.
If he becomes an above average quarterback, the talent on that team and the way they play, you're right. They're going to be making some noise. They're going to be battling for that division.
Yeah. Miami is on the rise, and that defense, they've got some growing up to do and they still need some more talent, but that defense can keep them in games. Now you just need Tua to not screw things up, and you surround him with a guy like Jalen Waddle. That's just going to help him in the next 3 or 4 years. If Miami keeps making good moves like that, they are going to be a load. I really like what they did this year, and obviously some of the stuff even before the draft, some of the moves that they made before the draft, but I like what Miami did. Mike, who is your final winner that you have right now?
I struggle to come up with more winners. I've got a handful that are kind of neutral. Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Did they improve? No.
Probably not.
But with what they did, how they finished the year and how they handled the Chiefs and literally signed pretty much everybody that they got back. It's hard to argue against them, but in the draft, they didn't really do anything. They may have picked their quarterback of the future.
Maybe.
Is there a better situation to sit behind for a year or two than Tom Brady?
Here's the problem for Kyle Trask. They get Kyle Trask at the end of round 2. He gets to learn at the foot of Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Here's the problem. Is that 2 years or is that 10? Is that 14? I don't know. I don't know if Trask ever gets in the game. Like, Trask might retire before Brady does at the rate things are going. But yeah, you're right. Here's the thing that I was thinking with Tampa's draft. What do they need? Right. I don't know. I couldn't come up with anything.
No.
A backup quarterback? I don't know.
Their defensive line, great. Their middle linebackers, or their three linebackers?
Yes.
Well, we saw that in the Super Bowl. They're outstanding.
Yeah.
Offensively, forget about it. They're loaded.
They're loaded.
Stacked. What do they need?
Not a lot. They really don't. Tampa didn't need much. They didn't get much, but they didn't need much. Tampa is coming out of this. That window is small. Yep. Make no mistake.
Yep.
They've got a lot of expiring contracts and Brady and the whole thing, but they are totally in line
to win
another championship. Yep. They will be the favorite coming out of the NFC for sure. Mike, I'm going to give my final loser, and I'm going to give it to Denver Broncos quarterback Drew Lock. Prior to the draft, the Broncos go out, they make a trade for Teddy Bridgewater. They did not address the quarterback position in the draft, which means that this competition probably comes down to Lock versus Bridgewater, unless some Aaron Rodgers freak thing happens. I don't know if Lock can win that competition because he makes too many mistakes and he doesn't make enough great plays to outweigh that. But even if he is installed as the starter and Elway just says, too bad, put him in there. He's better than Bridgewater. The locals are going to be screaming for Teddy Bridgewater to get on the field, especially when Lock goes out and has like a 2-fumble, 3-interception game. Meanwhile, the Broncos have built themselves at least a pretty good defense. They have some skill positions. They've got wide receivers, tight end. They pick up a really good running back. UNC running back Javonte Williams looks like a stud. Here's the thing, though. All the pressure is going to be on Drew Lock, and I have seen nothing whatsoever to make me think that he's going to step up in any way.
We've talked about this before. I've actually been calling for Bridgewater for a few years.
Yeah.
I've liked him.
I do too.
I think he's consistent.
He doesn't get you beat.
That's just it. His ceiling is not as high as potentially Drew Lock, but his floor
right
is so much higher. Steady Teddy, call him that. I don't care.
If you're
not going out there losing games, you've got so much talent in pass catchers.
Yeah.
You've got two very good running backs now. A very good, boy, what a change in the offensive line in the last year.
Right.
Now we've got possibly the best offensive line in the division.
Crazy as that sounds.
At least one half of it for sure. Yeah, I never thought I'd be saying that.
I neither.
So control the ball, run the clock down, and let your very good defense handle things.
But you can't turn it over.
You can't turn it over.
The dumb plays.
That's where Teddy Bridgewater comes in.
Right.
So now the problem with that is Teddy Bridgewater isn't exactly the type of guy that's going to be able to go out there and score 38, which is what it takes half the time to beat the Chiefs. I don't know. But more times than not, the consistency and the lack of dumb plays definitely favors Teddy Bridgewater.
It does. And for that reason, Drew Lock has to be looked at as a loser. He's got to come out and have a phenomenal preseason. He's got to come out and be so, so good. And I haven't seen, you know, when you think back to the Elway, you think back to the Marinos, you think back to these guys, they made a play that maybe they didn't even win. Maybe it was even an interception. But you looked at him and said, holy, did you see him? Like, there's not many guys that can do what he just did. I haven't seen Drew Lock make any of those plays. He's made plays that you go, well, yeah, he hit a 5-yard out 3 times. I guess that's something. He hasn't made that, wow, he's special play. And I don't think he has it.
Well, this is definitely the year to prove it. There's no excuses.
No,
you've got
it's all on him.
Second year under the same offense.
Yeah.
You've got a second year under the same offensive coordinator. You've got a full offseason now. If he doesn't start showing what he showed in the last quarter of the season in 2019, which we all ended that season saying, oh,
maybe he's the guy.
We're done.
Maybe
he's our quarterback for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
He played so well, minus the horrible game in Kansas City, that he gave us so much hope. And then last year, changed offensive coordinators, no offseason. It was bad. So there are no excuses this year. You know, they're saying he worked with Peyton Manning a little bit in the offseason. I don't know. Maybe he can do a brain transplant. I don't know what
That's
it is.
That's what he would need.
But yeah, you're right. There's a lot of pressure on him.
Mike, if you are predicting the most successful quarterback out of the first 5 taken, Trevor Lawrence goes to Jacksonville, Zach Wilson to the Jets, Trey Lance to the Niners, the Chicago Bears got Justin Fields, and the New England Patriots get Mac Jones. Who's going to end up out of that group being the best?
Career-wise?
Career-wise.
That's a tough one. Wins and losses, deep in the playoffs, Super Bowl appearances. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about.
Sure.
I'm basing this solely on the last 15 years of NFL football. I'd say Mac Jones.
Right. Probably Mac Jones.
Because, you know, with the offense that they can hopefully put together.
Got to get some more pieces.
Always had a good
sure.
defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one thing that a lot of people don't realize. The Patriots have always had a very good defense.
Yes. Who would you go next? So let's put Mac Jones at one. Who would you go to? See, I don't know what Trey Lance has.
No, you don't.
The Jets and Bears break quarterbacks every single year. I'm tempted to put Trevor Lawrence at two just because he looks really special, but I know he's in a bad situation, but I don't know what I have with Lance, and the other two cities kill quarterbacks every
year. You don't know what you have with Lance, but you don't know what you have with Urban Meyer in the pros.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. We don't have any idea what the Jaguars are going to look like. That's still to be determined. I don't know. Out of all the quarterbacks taken, five taken in the first round, the one taken last is probably going to be the guy that wins the most games.
It's very possible. Yeah. I think he went into the best situation.
For sure. And that's there's a case to be made that you would rather go later than go earlier if you get to the right spot. And Mac Jones is yet another example of exactly that. Mike, it's always fun to have you come in to be able to talk about the NFL draft. It just makes you want the season to be here now, but we've got a little bit more time to go, but we're heading into this dry season. We're heading into a long, rough patch where there's not a whole lot to talk about. Hope you know you're going to have to come back in and talk some more probably NFL. We might have to do some NFL history. We might have to do just some sports history in general, but we always enjoy your visits. Thanks for coming by and talking NFL draft with us today.
Always fun to come in. We talk about this every year. This is a definite high point of a dry offseason. You know, the draft and leading up to it is always exciting. Vast majority of the teams, fans are excited for what they picked. You know, you still got a handful of teams that are going, oh my God, who the heck is that? What happened there? But it always leads to anticipation for the upcoming season. So
should be a very, very fun year. Mike, thanks for stopping by. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will, of course, be keeping you up to date with all that happens in the world of sports. And, you know, we may have to look at a number of different things going on in the world of sports next week. Trust me, you won't want to miss it. Make sure that you stop by The Dose and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Have to say thank you so much to Mike from Castle Rock for coming by The Dose and breaking down the NFL draft with us. And I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel, for giving us positive ratings wherever it is you watch or listen. But more than anything else, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.